From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent a poisonous serpent among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of the Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord to take away and ask that we pray that we take away the serpents from us." And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. This biblical word to us from Numbers, the 21st chapter, verses 5 through 9. When we find ourselves in the wilderness, let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable within your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. I have always liked that story of the man who had a dog who had mastered a certain feat. And so one day he was walking along the beach and he saw a visitor. And he stopped him and said, "Watch this." He picked up a piece of wood and threw it out upon the ocean. And the dog ran out and grabbed the wood and brought it back to the man. But the visitor just shook his head. The man said, "Well, let me do it again." He threw the wood out, the dog ran along the water, picked up the wood, and ran back. But the visitor still just shook his head. The man said to the visitor, "What's wrong?" And the visitor responded, "Your dog can't swim." I think of the famous goalie, Jacques Plante. And he wrote and said, "How would you like a job where if you make a mistake, a big red light goes on and 18,000 people get to boo?" Let me talk about a very familiar subject. We all know what it is to be critical. And then we have been on the other side, and that is to be criticized. If a person declares, "I am done with this world, and I want to be left alone," then comes the criticism of being a recluse, an introvert. And what is it wrong with this person if they desire to be left all alone? On the other hand, if a person feels called to lead, to be out front, to risk, to dare, to be all live on the edge, to live outside of the box, and then comes the criticism of being. So many words and descriptions that describe this kind of life. Moses understood all sides. For at a time in his life, when he thought he had done all he could do for the children of Israel, and now he could live out his life, a married man with children, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. But then the burning bush and God's call upon his life. Moses, go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. God does not say to Moses, I'm going to provide you with all of these weapons. I'm going to provide you with an army. All God says to Moses is, I will be with you. The promise of God was sure that somewhere out there, there was the promised land. But someone said that there is a whole lot of wilderness before you get to the promised land. The people found themselves in the wilderness. The people found themselves in the wilderness, and their response to Moses is best expressed in Psalm 78 and 40. How often they rebelled against Moses in the wilderness. This was the way they treated Moses. And yet it went much deeper than that. For this was their response to God. It was God who used Moses as an instrument, but it was God who provided for the people. The songwriter would later reflect on this time and wrote, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain from whence the healing waters doth flow. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. But at this moment, at this time, there was no song of praise. Instead, the people were critical of Moses. The people were critical of God. And the hand of God that wanted to bless them, the hand of God that wanted to bless them became a curse to them. And the people would suffer. Their complaining and criticism led to their punishment. I wish I could stand here and tell you that we will never know of wilderness. I wish I could tell you that we will never know of those times in our life when we say, why me, God? And yes, there are those times when, as the scripture described it, we can see the speck in someone else's eye, and we can't see the log that is in our own. And there are those times when we, like Paul, would say, I'm trying to do good, but evil is always present. All of this describes what it is. It describes what it is to live and to be in the wilderness. And perhaps the greatest task is to begin to see things differently. So yes, wilderness is a fact. Wilderness is a fact, but our complaining, our complaining does not have to be so. We can see things differently. We can ask that our eyes be opened. Our hearts, as John Wesley described it, be strangely warmed. And so this comes to my second point. We can see and we can claim what is the mercy of God. You see, the people of God in the wilderness could see the bread as God being able to provide. The bread becomes the symbol of Jesus, able to nourish and supply just what it is we are needing. The snake that was hung in their midst, and as they looked at the snake that was hung in their midst, as they looked at the snake, they were healed. Is this not Christ Jesus, who became sin for us and was hung on that awful tree? Can we not avoid wilderness? Can we not avoid wilderness as we look and claim what is the mercy of God? And in that mercy, there is healing. I came across this quote that I wanted to share with you. It is from the poet Evelyn Frost. It reads, "The temperature of the spiritual life of the church is the index of her power to heal." And this leads me to the last point that I wanted to make. Hear me when I say that God has provided for us just what we are needing. Listen now to this word in John, the third chapter, and verses 14, 13, and 14. "No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life." For whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You can strip away everything else. You can strip away everything else. And our most basic need is to know that we have a relationship with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. An old pastor closed his prayer this way: "Thus the resurrection is our final hope. It means that God, not disease, reigns. It means that there is no illness, no pain, no loss, no grief, no suffering, that in the end will not be redeemed by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever." Our most basic need is that our salvation is supplied. Go back now to those words of Evelyn Frost. "The temperature of the spiritual life of the church is the index for her power to heal." For those who know of wilderness, for those who are deep in the wilderness, and they are looking for a place that can be a healing station. I believe, in fact, I know, we have moved a long place from that day where someone said, I was born a Methodist. I was raised a Methodist. I'm going to die a Methodist. We have moved, for so many, from that place. And for someone who comes off the street long before they hear the preacher, long before they hear the eloquence of our choir, for someone who comes off the street, they are needing to know, is the church a spiritual place? Is the church a place where this emptiness that is deep down within my soul, what has caused this emptiness, you ask? A person struggling within their marriage. A person struggling, perhaps a single parent. A person struggling with their own health. A person struggling with their own job. All kinds of things you can name that has caused a spiritual emptiness within that person's life. To come to church, it needs to be a healing station. To come to a church that is cold. To come to a church that is critical. To come to a church that is divided within itself. It is not what so many, feeling the need for spiritual fulfillment, are looking for. But we can be a healing station. We can be a place where persons come to know of this salvation. We can be a place where this resurrection is very much alive. We can be a place that announces with boldness, resurrection is greater than the wilderness. When you find yourself in the wilderness, know that God is able to provide. When we find ourselves in the wilderness together and we're looking and searching for what promised land might look like, remember always that God is with us. And these words seem to come home even more. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. Amen.